I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, why do we live where we live? We speak with two different men about their hometowns, a rising Sunbelt city and an older industrial outpost. But first, new information about American cities from the U.S. Census Bureau. According to the Bureau's recent report, some older industrial cities, such as Philadelphia, Chicago, and Detroit, are steadily losing population as more and more Americans settle in towns in the South and out West. Philadelphia, for example, has been replaced as the country's fifth largest city by Phoenix. What's drawing people away from northeastern cities, and who exactly is leaving? Joining me to talk about this is William Fry, a visiting fellow in metropolitan policy at the Brookings Institution here in Washington, D.C. William Fry, welcome.
It's good to be with you, Michelle.
Remind me, which cities gained the most population and which lost the most?
Well, the cities that gained the most population numerically were New York, Los Angeles, Houston, Phoenix, and a bunch of other cities that were in Texas and the Southeast and Southwest. We're basically talking about the population moving to this part of the country. Of course, New York is so big, and they're getting all these immigrants that they're part of the mix, too.
Well, I was going to ask you that, because it seems like the Sun Belt story is a familiar one. But the New York, why?
Well, you know, it's a city that has just a lot of economic diversity. It has a lot of cultural diversity. And even though technically there is an out-migration from New York in terms of people who move within the United States, it's getting all of its growth from immigrants. It remains a big immigrant magnet. It remains a big global city that attracts people from all around the world. It's probably our main world city in the United States.
And do the other high-growth cities have anything else in common?
Well, you know, it depends on whether you're looking at sort of absolute growth or growth rates. And if you look at growth rates, these are places that are growing by, you know, 50%, 80% since the 2000 census. They tend to be smaller size cities. These are places like suburban Las Vegas, small towns in suburban Phoenix, suburban Atlanta, suburban Denver. These are places that are attracting folks because they want to live in a new, freshly minted kind of place. They're living in the Sun Belt where the environment is nice. They see a lot of sun. In some places, they have a lot of outdoor activities. And it's a place that has a lot of jobs, a lot of good amenities, and, you know, it's fresh.
You talked about the role of immigration in New York's growth. I wanted to ask you about the other cities. Among the cities that are growing, how big of a factor is immigration? I mean, international immigration to those cities.
That's right. I mean, it's often a distinction we make between domestic migration and international migration. But to answer your question, I think it's both. Many of these cities, these fast-growing cities in Nevada and Arizona and the southeastern states, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, central part of Florida, certainly are gaining people from the Rust Belt, and they're gaining people from the Northeast. But what that's also doing is creating jobs for immigrants. And so now we see the immigrant flows to these areas almost as high in some cases as the people coming from other parts of the United States. So they're growing from all sources. Look at Phoenix. I mean, they're taking Mexicans across the border. They're taking Californians across the border who don't want to pay those high housing costs in California and move to Arizona. And they're getting retirees from everywhere else. So they're getting it from all ends.
What about the areas that are losing population? What are the ones that have lost the most, and do they have anything in common?
Well, the places that have shown the biggest absolute loss in people and percentage loss tend to be in the around the Rust Belt part of the country. Detroit, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, lots of cities in upstate New York are losing a lot of folks. These are places that used to be big industrial magnets. They were places that, you know, attracted people from the South and from the West in the earlier part of the last century. A lot of African Americans moved to these cities after immigration died down in the earlier part of the 20th century because they needed workers there. Basically, I'd say since the 70s, a lot of these cities really started to lose their growth power because back then, the downsizing of steel, the downsizing of automobile industry and of heavy industries in these other places. And those were the big decades of loss, I would say the 70s and 80s. The fact that they're still losing means, you know, there's still a little bit of a flow outward to these fast-growing parts of the country.
But the cities that have lost people, do we know who is leaving? Is it mainly young people who don't see the opportunities?
Yeah, you know, migration in general is a young person's game. So when you look at any kind of migration flows from one place to another, they tend to be younger people. Young folks who, you know, aspire to going to where the jobs are and maybe where the, you know, there's a little buzz about the city that they're moving to. You know, look to the south, look to the west, look to New York City as well, because there's kind of a buzz about New York City if you're a young person. It doesn't mean that the door is closed to these cities in the Rust Belt and that they can't come back. I think there's a lot of important efforts being made there to make these cities attractive, to bring jobs to these cities in a sort of a new economy kinds of jobs, to sort of reach out to these young people and saying, hey, stay here.
Well,
and
in fact,
you know, some of them are getting the message.
Well,
yeah.
I was going to ask you that because a city like Pittsburgh that has lost jobs in manufacturing has also become known for something else, like, for example, medical research. There are still fine universities there, and they've become known as a place for advances in medical research. I think there's like transplant centers there and things of that sort. But that's not enough to bring back population, or sort of, I guess perhaps it's just not as labor intensive as the jobs that were lost.
Well, I guess that's right. But I think the other side of the coin is you don't have to have hordes of people moving in to be a successful city. In other words, if you have new economy, high tech, you know, cutting-edge kinds of industries that bring in people with skills, with good incomes that can help to enrich the tax base, that's a good place to build on in the transformation from a Rust Belt, from an old industrial city, to try to get to a new economy city. And I think those exact kinds of attributes that you point to Pittsburgh is having, along with the major universities like Carnegie Mellon that can spin off those kinds of activities, is an important way to get those cities back into being successful, maybe not in very fast growth, not in big numbers, but to having a kind of population which will help to sustain that city.
So a city, just because they're losing population, all is not lost. It doesn't mean that that's a failing city.
I think that's absolutely the case. And a lot of that population isn't leaving the whole region. A lot of that population is moving to the suburbs. So this also says here's a way to keep that whole region economically viable, to have more bridges between what's going on in the city and what's going on in the suburbs in terms of, you know, cooperation in attracting new industries from around the country, maybe sharing of resources for parks, for schools, for other kinds of amenities, so that the city can help to share in whatever success the suburbs are having in these metropolitan areas.
All right. William Fry is a visiting fellow in metropolitan policy at the Brookings Institution here in Washington. He joined us from his office. Thanks again for speaking with us.
Sure. I enjoyed it.